Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Hey, audio is back. We are back live.
Shall we start over? If anybody's wondering what was all the gesticulating going on here. Where we left off here, everybody other than the lip readers who know what the prelude was, you would call this the Kung Flu. And I thought that's great, because it gets the president and everybody else off the hook who have done the politically correct thing and calling it Hunan flu or the Chinese coronavirus
or whatever. Yeah.
Speaking of that, the Chinese say today that they have no new cases. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. That's a real positive.
Well, but is it true? You see, this is the problem. The Chinese lately, at least I say the Chinese, I should separate this, the leadership, the party, has been speaking with much forked tongue.
Yeah.
And you know something interesting, just things that pop into your mind. All the maps that I've seen, and now this is very curious, all the maps, world maps that have the big red circles over it where up until yesterday, West Virginia was clear, and Russia, the whole country. I've not heard anybody address that or speak about it.
Right.
Either this huge country has no cases, or they're doing a lot of fork and tongue stuff. So this is one of the problems. You don't know what to believe.
Right. There's a lot of misinformation going on out there. And I mean, these are certainly unbelievable times. You know, you've been on this earth a lot longer than a lot of people. I mean, have you ever experienced anything of this magnitude?
Well, the big crises happened when I was a child. And this, of course, would have been the Great Depression and World War II. So I'm not sure. I wasn't a student of the culture at that time. But again, this is something that when I think about it, it's given me some great hope about this. I'm beginning to be very optimistic about it, because I've been yelling for years that we need something to push a restart button for this culture. Mm. This culture, American culture, is totally out of hand. It is just frantic with materialism and other problems. And I said, if the only thing that would push a restart button would be a calamity, if you want, where people would have to go back and settle down and sort of, like a big dog scratching off the fleas, settle into some rational form of life.
Right.
And perhaps this is it. I talk about, well, you know, you hope it's none of these things. You pray that it's not. But one of the things that I'd mentioned, in addition to a financial collapse, mm-hmm. would be a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of hopeful that when this is over, that we might see some very good positives coming out of this.
Yeah.
I wrote a little thing here. I was just sort of jotting out notes while we're waiting for the sound to come back on.
Yeah.
Here again is where I find myself right now. And you asked the question, can the most spoiled, frantically self-indulgent, self-absorbed population on the earth morph into self-sacrificing, self-disciplined, responsible, socially concerned population? Mm-hmm. I think it can. Mm-hmm. Because what I do remember, and from what I pick up about the Depression, for example, everybody felt they were in the same boat. And consequently, there was very little of this bickering, arguing. We certainly didn't have political correctness then, but everybody recognized that we're all in it together. Right. World War II, same thing. You got a little touch of that right after 9/11, before that kind of fell apart, that spirit in the military action later. But I'm rather hopeful. I find myself, as regards the virus itself, the cultural part of it is something else, but I find myself kind of between, I think Bill in the morning is still on the tack, and he could be absolutely correct that this is overblown by media, by the political establishment,
right?
And we don't have that much to fear. On the other hand, on the other extreme is the St. John of Patmos, who wrote the Apocalypse.
Right.
And do the name Pale Rider ring a bell? Because that was the fourth rider in the Apocalypse, the Four Horsemen, and this was pestilence, disease. So I don't know, I was thinking too, in my village, back in my village, we had a saying, something that we evoked in time of great crisis, and everybody would get together and say, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout, and so I got that out of my system, but I think that's one rather common reaction. I would ask people who are watching this. I have no take on this. I think last week people were saying, why doesn't somebody say something that makes me feel better or calm down? I do not have such a thing to offer. Right. But we'd like to just get where are you now in this?
Yeah. What are your experiences? Yeah, please put your comments here on the Facebook feed. We're going to address as many as we can this morning, and we'd love to share your experiences. Are you going through pain? Do you feel positive? Do you agree with what Jim and Bill are saying, or do you think think it's a lot worse than anybody is leading on to? We're just looking for your opinions this morning, and there is a wide range of people that are feeling a lot of different things this morning. I will comment on what you were saying about the World War II and all that. I feel very blessed personally that my grandparents were of that generation, that my parents also learned from that, and they were prepared. I mean, they were prepared for anything. We always had extra, and we were always, what if the plan and all that stuff. Save your money, just conserve, just be careful. You never know what's going to happen. You never know. And having that drum, put into my head as an early age, that has stayed with me and served me very well up to this day. So I'm not really panicked. I'm concerned. I believe it's certainly a very, very, a very, very serious thing to be worried about, probably the most serious thing that we're going to have to deal with in our generation. But I'm not panicking, if that's a little bit crazy to sound. I'm just taking it step by step.
Well, here we get the prospect of the president of the government sending everybody money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And largely because in this country, the highest percentage, I think, people are just living hand to mouth. Nobody's putting anything away, or few people are. And even in this, if the market really crashes, then there goes some of your savings that you had invested of the 401ks and the like. But the point is that the credit card debt alone, I forget how many trillions of dollars we're into. On the other hand, at one of my metamorphoses, I worked at a radio station in Seattle owned by the Mormon Church, the Bonneville Corporation, which was owned by the church. Mormons, and I don't know really that much about the religion, but I do know that they were urged to, and most will, somehow accumulate and put aside a year's pay into savings. Mm. Then you get back into your buying, you're accumulating, and you buy everything that's on the TV for 1995 and the cars and the house and everything. But the first thing you do when you start earning money is to put away the equivalent so that you can live for a year. At your same lifestyle, which is a great thing. Unfortunately, most Americans have not adopted that.
Right. I got a comment here from Vicky.
Says, Hi, Vicky.
It just got real in her house. Her husband just lost his job. Now what do they do? That's just one comment from Vicky. Vicky Loveland.
No, I understand that. And Vicky, I wish I had something, to offer. The government sending what they're talking about, $1,000 a head to every man, woman, child, suckling babe, I guess, in the country. I'm not sure that's a very good idea. It may cause more people to lose jobs because some of the smaller employees who are working on a margin themselves would say, hey, the government's going to give you money. I'm going to lay you off for a time. And then when this is over, when you spent the government's money, you can come back to work. And we'll do it over again.
Right.
So that could be a negative. It's tough. I don't know what you do. But again, as I said, there is maybe a bit of a possible silver lining in this whole thing when people like Vicky and the families will know that these things are possibilities. Then instead of maxing out a handful of credit cards to live the life that television tells you should be living, then you will have money to survive. As you said, Bob, tough.
I don't
your
know
family you... always had food put aside. You had provisions so that you could make it through a storm. Well, we've been living so much on the edge that most people do not have that because they've never been concerned about it. We're spoiled.
Right.
We're living in the most affluent, free country, and everything was out there for grabs. And the only sin was not getting your share of it.
Right.
And so people would extend themselves and way over, you know, up to their latissimus dorsi in credit card debt and education debt, the college loan debt, and something like this hits. Now, I think if we're going to make a prayer, what we'd like to see happen is for this thing to run its course, to end forever, go away, and then leave us with some very different ideas about how to live. Because you could have another one on the heels of this. There's nothing to stop that.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm kind of hopeful, but I certainly have every sympathy. Having worked in broadcasting for 60 years, there have been times when I was down too and out and nothing. So I know what it's like.
And a lot of people are echoing Vicky's comment about her husband losing the job. What's next for them? A lot of people are echoing that they're barely making rent and utility payments. And then Paula Smith just got laid off.
Again,
a lot of people are echoing
those terrible
stories.
I have every
Another person, Honey, says they used to make fun of me for being a prepper. Not so much now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know
what you would say to people like that. There is no control that we have. This was one of the negatives, I guess, of my 26 years doing the morning show at New Jersey 101.5, is hearing from people who have their problems and they think because you're on the public stage, you can do something about it, especially with political influence you might have, and you can't. And I got into some very deep fits of depression over incidents, people with situations that I could not do anything about. And yet I would have people calling me on the radio, calling me at home, you know, in tears, crying. We talked to the governor about this or that. It's something that we just can't do. So I don't know.
Everyone knows I'm immunosuppressed because of my recent transplant. So for someone like me, I've got to be very, very concerned about this. And I've got to sequester myself for as long as it takes. I've really got to limit. And so does everyone here in my family. We've got to do that. So I've got to, and anyone else in the same situation as I am, they've got to do the same thing. And the elderly, they've got to take this very seriously. But my question is, how is there any way that we as a society can balance this so that the entire world doesn't come to an economic screeching halt? Because it has the potential for just completely wrecking countless lives. I don't know what you feel about that.
Of course. And in this country, we've pretty much set ourselves up for it by our profligate, you know, ways of life, self-indulgence, living. Oh, look at the kids now. What do they have? 100,000 kids or something in Florida on top of one another, the spring break.
They're ignoring the pleas to stay home.
This is the generation that is so damn spoiled because they've never had any reality like this, any serious reality, negative reality in their lives. Most of us, you who are younger than I, in my sense, the depression, things were very tough. You get the world wars. After that, we had the threat of the bomb, you know, duck and cover business. And then, so there's always been something of a crisis and that the people had to live with. This generation has not had any of that. There's been nothing of that going on. The biggest fear they've ever had is that somehow the internet will go out and they can't text.
Right.
So, yeah. We got to get this in before we forget about it. I know this is an aside. We still would like to hear from people. If anybody has an idea of what people in media can do to help, like Vicky and the family, and certainly I have no answer for it. I understand that in New Jersey, the governor is kind of gone into a meditation grove or something, and is not really out in front.
Right, he's basically got his head under the bed and not giving us leadership and the guidance that we need, I believe.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the politics of this thing at all, because I think we all should sort of stay out of that for a while.
Yes.
But I just wanted to mention, of all the bizarre things going on, the story this morning about the mayor of Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
This shows what I was sort of talking about, or where we are, or where we were, and I hope we come out of this and we're no longer there. The governor, the mayor of Baltimore, has urged his people to stop shooting one another because they need the hospital beds for victims, or they might need them for the flu. Now, you get that. Ask people, please stop shooting each other.
Right.
No, we do not need the beds in the hospital for shooting victims. We need it for. Did he put a time limit on it?
Yeah, don't shoot your neighbor for the next couple of weeks at least, right?
The next couple of weeks. Now, when can you start shooting again? That's going to be the question that probably was asked at a press conference.
Did you ever think you would see that from a politician having to plea, don't shoot at anybody?
Well, how about in Chicago? I mean, that would be where they shoot, I guess, more than they do in Baltimore. It's a shooting gallery. Are they going to go in? Are they going to shoot from home? Or shoot in place, I guess, is what it would be. It's a monstrous absurdity.
Yeah.
A couple
of comments here, Jim. Deb Conniff says, we're also retired, but we have always saved, always been cautious. The material stuff was never that important. So I hope that you're right, Jim, that this forces a reboot of our collective soul.
Yeah, this what she's talking about is sort of the grasshopper and the ant, Aesop fable. And we have been the grasshopper who in hard times went and pled with the ants who had been working real hard all year storing things up, because the grasshopper had run out of food because he had not been provident, which, of course, is the moral of the story. And this is very apt nowadays. This is where we are. Not everybody, obviously, but as a culture. And so the thing is that it's understandable. I'm not trying to fault anybody for it, because this was going along in the mainstream of the culture. You get everything you can, you accumulate, you acquire, because media tells you that you have to have all these things, especially now it's getting in more of the social media with their huge tsunami of advertising that is geared to you, very Machiavellian. They get information, data about you specifically off the social media. Then they sell that to advertisers who have a product that you may have mentioned just casually in a conversation on Facebook, and try to run it down your throat. You look at a news story, boy, does this gall me. I want to check a news story, a video with any news source. First thing that comes up, and this can be a horrendous, tragic thing, but to see it, you've got to sit through a stupid, mind-numbing 30 seconds worth of commercial to see it, which sort of it takes the leavening out of the feeling, the thought that you had from the news story. 27 people killed in a car wreck, you know, mass carnage and everything, but first, and here comes a bunch of dancing bananas out or something, or somebody hustling loose cars. See, there's so much that needs resetting. People's attitudes, the whole culture. Now, the spending that's being poured out now, the $1 trillion or more that's going to be given away and put into this, bailing out businesses, helping small businesses, bailing out the big ones, and then sending out money to people who have been unemployed. And I hope they only send it to people who need it, because if they just start blanketing, this is the American thing. This is part of the whole problem. The way Americans deal with a problem is to throw money at it. Hopefully that after this is over, people will see that it's not always going to be like this. There is a tomorrow, and the Nike Just Do It may not be the soundest philosophy to live by.
Right.
I hope. So yeah. I think that's one of the good things here. Another good thing. I was looking out the window here behind me this morning. I don't know if you can see this. But there's a row of weeping cherry trees in front that are coming into a nice pink bloom, just coming into bloom. I got a little magnolia tree over here that is blooming. The forsythia's out. The daffodils are up and blooming. So it bodes to be a beautiful spring. So that somehow, I guess, lightens the spirit just a bit. So
a couple of other comments. Teresa says it's really sad when you go to the grocery store and you can't buy a loaf of bread or get meat. Yeah. That she faced yesterday, that scares her. And I got to agree with you. I mean, this is completely a self-inflicted panic that we've done to this society through overhype. I mean, I'm not taking away anything from the importance of this issue. This is a major, serious stuff that could affect thousands more if we're not, you know, very careful in how we treat this. But the panic that has been ensued and just inflicted on people, it's just dangerous. I mean, you're seeing people stocking up like it's the last day on earth.
It's ridiculous. And what got me was the toilet paper rush. Who would have thought of that? Who in the world would ever have thought that there would be a total panic to get toilet paper? So does this say something about the American diet? I don't know. I don't follow the American diet. And I was now this is absurd. But I expect any day or somebody, some politician or person to come out and say, to prevent another toilet paper panic, the government is going to send free everybody cheese and red meat.
Binding products.
Constipation, and then people can relax. So
have some cheese.
I apologize for that one.
If you take anything away from this this morning, have cheese.
Have cheese. Yeah, eat cheese. Lots of cheese. You know what was gone in the market I went to, in addition to all the paper products? There was the milk chest was full of milk. Next to it, when they have the ersatz milk, if you want, the almond milk, the soy milk, the coconut milk, and all, that was bare. So people had gone with that.
People had gone with the basics, the comfort food. And from what I understood going to the store last week, I mean, I normally go on Sunday mornings. It's normally very quiet. It's me and a couple of other people. It was like the day before Thanksgiving times 10. It was just madness, and it was just very disappointing. And I spoke to a couple of the workers over at the local shop, right? And they said, I don't know what's going on. We're getting shipments on a regular basis. It's not like the food chain or the supply has been cut off. People are just under the misguidance that there's not going to be anything available after next week.
Can you imagine the people are going to have a whole storage facility rented full of toilet paper after this is over? What are you going to do with it?
Well, I think I mentioned a while ago, and I it's worth repeating. We're going to get out of this at some point, and you're going to end up with a lot. Not you, but people are going to end up with a lot of surplus of food and things like that. You better think about donating that to your local food pantry or your local social services, or find a good home for that stuff. Don't let those canned goods and all of that stuff, which all have expiration dates, go to waste. Don't let them rot in your basement, in a box, or in your garage, or what have you. Get rid of it and give it to the people that need it, because, heck, they need it now, and they're definitely going to need it later.
That's one of the things. Nobody knows how this is going to play out. I was thinking this morning, I will start here as do our gentlemen of the cloth, with a glance at the text. And the text here is Ludwig Wittgenstein, the probably most significant philosopher of the 20th century, in a book called Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus. I don't know what it means either, but that's the name of the book. But here is his summation of wisdom. Whereof one cannot speak, thereof one must be silent. In other words, if you don't know what you're talking about, sit down and shut up. And again, I think none of us really know what this is, where it's going. The scientists are still trying to figure it out and come up with a cure. I'm told that there are some promising advances in medical research now to deal with this. Hopefully the Chinese, for once, are not speaking with forked tongue, and this has leveled out. Sometimes these pop up and die out of their own. But it's a terrible thing to say. It would be good for us as a culture if this lasted long enough that people would get it into their heads to live as the last caller had said, and as you've talked about, prudently. And remember, this could happen again. This can happen again. You've got to be ready for it, because we're living in an age in which not only are these viruses, these creatures morphing themselves into new strains and coming along, as this is an example, but we're not ready for it, because what we've done with our bodies by this profligate living standard that we had, and we're living on poisoned food by and large, which is undercutting the body's natural ability to fight off these things.
Yep, I got another comment from John Charles. Says many of the greatest generation preached to their children to save for a rainy day, telling them stories of all the hardship they had experienced as kids during the Great Depression. And there, I'm witness to that, John. It's served me well, and I'm sure anyone my age and my generation, the late boomers into the next generation. I mean, yeah, it's serving us well today. It really is.
Well, and I'm so, you know, something crazy. Looking back, you look for pluses out of this, but I know during the Depression, we didn't eat like people do now. It was meat was, in a sense, almost rare, just some. And these were usually like chicken or something, which is considered borderline healthy. A lot of seafood and vegetables and grains and the like. So when I was growing up, we had a much better diet than a kid growing up today has. There was no McDonald's. Right. There was very little processed food. You happened to eat just what happened to be locally grown or a few things shipped in. And so it grew up. I think our metabolisms or our bodies just sort of developed with a little more strength than possibly you're going to get coming up in the future, because you know the years that I've managed to stick it out here, taking up oxygen from people on the planet. So.
Well, you're certainly an inspiration to everybody, Jim, for, yeah. You know, you've stayed well for a lot of time, and, you know, it's served well today, buddy.
So I think people are going to have to rethink a lot of things after this. But I again, if it ended today, I think we would be right back where we were. The reset button would not have worked. It's like rebooting your computer and it goes right out again. Right. This is a terrible thing to say, because you were, in a sense, there are some people, now nobody deserves this, of course, but there are some people, I mean, nobody deserves the hardships. But there are some people who I think will come out of it. I would predict they're going to be better for it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of people.
As I said, my little note here, it's possible that we could do a 180 degree turn and come into people who are capable of self-sacrifice, people who are self-disciplined, who are responsible, who will accept responsibility for their own lives instead of yelling to the government for somebody else for everything. Can it be done? It can be done. And I hope this is something that will regenerate that sort of a spirit that we're talking about, people during the Depression. You didn't find any people fighting. Nobody was intimidating you for your thoughts because you didn't think the proper thing or say the proper thing. And the same thing went when we were at war. Everybody recognized the peril, and there was a great sense. You know, something, I was talking about times you could ask that you saw that. I saw a little bit of it one time in New York, of all places, 1969, when the Mets won the World Series. Really? Yeah. And you get it for a couple of days or maybe a week in Philadelphia when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Yeah. And their people are happy. They're smiling at each other. But then they slip back again.
Yeah.
Because I think it's because of the huge demands that this culture puts on you to do things, to get things, look busy. And I think there's great hope in this. Yes.
I agree, too. And I also want to share that I think that a lot of people today are feeling out of control, because it is one of those situations where nobody can control when things are going to get back to normal. People are freaked out. That's when they try to get more control. They try to give me more of this, give me more of that. Let me just rein in what I can to keep my sanity. But people have just got to let it go and let things happen. And hopefully things will come back. You gotta maintain some sort of hope when there's not much out here right now immediately to be hopeful for.
I will drop in a thought here, and it's simply a thought. There can be a positive here, because if you are in a situation when you cannot do anything about it, recognize the fact that you cannot control it. This is like the old Taoist idea of the Tao. This is the way the world works. You could call it God, you could call it the universe or what, is doing its thing. And you can't do anything about it. And the best way to get into trouble is to fight it. So, but accept that, and the fact that you can't do anything, as the possibility of removing some of the stress and some of the tension and some of the anxieties. And it, because you're not doing anything, not because of your fault, this is something that you can't control. Right. So you can say, as the little bird in my, I don't know if you could see the picture up there, Bob, you could see it yesterday.
What's it say there?
Well, can you see that? I have a, there's a picture I have and I love it. And it's a waterfowl of some kind, a duck or whatever, walking out of an oil spill onto the beach. He's just covered with oil. It's dripping. And he's got this real shaking your head, you know, what's the use look on his face. And what he's saying in the caption is something it. Like something at all. Now, I can't say something.
You fill in the blanks, right? Yeah.
I'll fill in the blank because I covered that up. You mentioned it yesterday we were talking. So I did cover it, and it's a family program.
Everybody appreciates that. Hey, real quick, how long do you think we can go on with these restrictions? Do we have to tough it out? Do you think people are going to start rebelling? What's your feeling?
No,
we're
going to find out. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I saw a story yesterday. Guns are selling like mad in states where you go out and buy a gun. Ammunition, they're out of it. Ammunition are like the toilet paper shelves in the gun stores. And so what people are saying, when you talk to them, they're afraid that something is going to happen. And then if you have some food put away, there's going to be people coming in, invading your home to get the food.
Yeah, so don't tell your neighbors that you have food, because they may be knocking on your door later on tonight to get it.
There is some wisdom in that, Bob. I don't know if you intended it that way. but that's very, very wise. Look as poor as you possibly can.
Oh,
go out in ragged clothes.
Yeah.
And it would hurt to see you nip and bark off the tree.
Hey, before we go, let's get in that it's still New Jersey, no matter what kind of crisis. Those rascals down there in Trenton going to raise the tolls, or they want to raise the tolls on the Turnpike of the Parkway. So they have three public hearings. For you to express your dissension or your different opinion yesterday. Well, they had three of them. One was canceled, and the other two public hearings were not open to the public because of the coronavirus.
So they are so used to and so grooved into this grubbing money that they had these three hearings at a time when people are urged to stay home. I understand that also when they had it, they did not have the hearing scheduled for Monmouth and Ocean counties.
Yes, that's one. They wanted someone, one of the politicians down there wanted to have one, but it was not approved. Yes, I agree.
But as you say, it's typical New Jersey, no matter what. Hail, pestilence, frogs, vermin, you know, whatever, pandemics cannot stop the state of New Jersey from starting to stick its hand in your pocket.
Right. They haven't approved it yet, but it's heading that way, unfortunately.
Well, something to think about, too, with all these trillions of dollars that are being given away to help keep the economy going and keep people, in some reasonable state. It's got to be paid back at some time.
Right.
Because they can sit there with their printing press printing out money, but that has repercussions, too. So I would not be surprised to find that there are going to be some significant increases in taxes after this is over. Now, I think maybe most of us hopefully will understand that it's necessary. It has to be done. The piper has to be paid. But I also hope that at the same time, people will realize that the government cannot do it as they have normally done, which is 54% waste.
Yeah.
That we have got to get together and demand efficiency of the government when they start paying the piper. Yeah. So I rest my case.
Lou Hockman's, our director, says we got to wrap. Lou, thank you very much for taking care of us today. It's a different format we've been doing. We're both Skyping in, and we appreciate it. We're going to be here next week at 10:30 right here on the Facebook Live. We remind you to keep your information station, New Jersey 101.5, online at nj1015.com and on the app. We're here 24/7 right through this crisis. We're your prime information source here in New Jersey. And Jim, it's always a pleasure being here with you, buddy.
Okay. See you later, everybody.